What's the difference between MI5 and MI6? What does that mean?
Okay, MI5 is the equivalent of the FBI internal security for Britain. It defends the defense of the realm inside the country. MI6 is the international arm of intelligence for Britain. It has agents dotted around the world. It has altogether a staff of 3,200. And MI5 around about 2,500.
So MI6 would be like our CIA then?
It would be exactly like your CIA. It's also linked closely to the National Security Agency. It works with all foreign intelligence services which are deemed to be friendly or not so. And a very good example of their gathering of intelligence is that I can tell you that they've just that having had the business of Iraq where no weapons of mass destruction has been found, they have now established MI6 that Hezbollah has been equipped with state-of-the-art Iranian missiles. And this story is new, and I can probably break it with you here. The weapons, which have reached a number over 50, arrived in South Lebanon after the assassination of arms dealer Mahmoud al-Mabou in Dubai, as you remember, last January. It has now emerged, and I'm told this, that MI6 agents have established that a month after that assassination, an officer from the Iran's Revolutionary Guard, who is responsible for arms transactions for Tehran, met with a Hezbollah arms dealer at the same hotel where al-Mahmoud was killed. And later, 3 weeks, I'm told, later, an Iran Air Force military transporter arrived at an airfield outside Damascus and crated weapons were removed to South Lebanon. Now, the weapons are the Iranian version of Scud missiles. They have a longer range than previous Scuds and could hit any city in Israel.
And I bet they have more wallop, too, don't they, Gordon?
Much more wallop. And even strike at Israel's nuclear facility at Dimona. That's in an MI6 report, which I'll be made aware of. Now, this leads the Middle East situation to a new level of danger because, as you know, the relationship between Mr. Bibi Netanyahu and President Obama is not at its best at the moment.
No, it's not good. Kind of strained.
It's very strained. Now, what we're looking at here is a possibility that MI5 certainly believes that Israel will be forced to take action if the missiles are physically moved or even attempted to be used against Israel. That's a very dangerous thought. And yet we have Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah, who I've interviewed once. Goodness, sir, that was an experience. And Hamas's Khalid Mashal, who, of course, has survived several assassination attempts by Israel, have met with President Ahmadinejad in Tehran. And in the words of one intelligence officer, they must be rubbing their hands in glee over the year-long rift between Israel's prime minister and Obama. There you are. That's the background to that story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very dangerous because there is talk, even as we were speaking now, there's talk in Israel that we are looking at a resumption of the war that left 1,000 Lebanese civilians and Israelis were killed in the 2006 conflict. It could be greater this time because if those missiles are fired, it'll spread. There's no question about it. It'll spread very far. And it's an area which is very, very disturbing. This is disturbing here in Britain, of course, they're very concerned. And it's, of course, another reason why they believe that the sleeper agents, which are here, hidden away, MI5 sake, will come out and do some terrible supported attack against us. And therefore, the relationship between MI5 and MI6, which used to be very separate, is now almost one. MI6 go out into the international field with MI5, and vice versa, MI6 operate in Britain as well, doing their own roundup. So there are two services doing the job of, well, of one at the moment, but the terrorism threat is no doubt a very serious one. Very serious in this country.
Gordon, are you convinced that even if we had a world of peace, total peace, that there are still individuals, corporations that would want bloodshed and war, and that they would be the ones to initiate problems?
Well, it's not something I've looked at, to be honest with you, very closely, but there's no question it's a very feasible situation. You have a lot of organizations who survive totally on the basis of making weapons for war. We know that, and making stirring war. There's also, you know, you see what's happening in the financial market. It would be even worse than it is. You see what's happening in all sorts of markets which make weapons and chemicals and et cetera, which can be used in war. And this is very frightening because they're making profit, and our lads are dying in Afghanistan and places like that. And the hunt for bin Laden, as I come back to what I said at the top of the show, it's beyond me and beyond a lot of analysts why he has not been put to rest once and for all.
I know. And it's baffling to me, too.
It's baffling to everybody, and to people like you particularly, I can see that. And it's one that even intelligence officers say, what more can we do? Now, the thing is, it's not a question of money for MI5 and MI6. They have, like the CIA, unlimited budgets. It's called a secretive vote in Parliament. There's no vote, of course. If they want, it's just a name for an endless supply of money. Whatever they want, they get. It's an incredible amount of money because we don't know it for a start, but we can guess it. It could be many billions a year is spent on security.
Yes.
And we don't know. And we don't. They don't have to justify it. They don't have to explain what they do with the money. They don't have to do anything except spend it as they think fit. And that responsibility belongs to two men, Jonathan Evans, the head of MI5, and the new head of MI6. He's been there a little while now, but he is the 15th to hold a post. His name is John Sowers. He's a knight of the realm. And at the top of the show you were playing, I was quite fascinated and amused. The James Bond theme. Yeah. Well, Sir John Sowers would make a very good 007. He has extraordinary dance floor skills, even Fred Astaire. He has a gourmet appetite for the good life. And he is quite extraordinary.
He's what we would call old-time British.
Old-time British indeed, but he's only 41.
Yeah.
And he came from his job as UN ambassador for Britain, and he's been there, and he is he's extraordinary. He insists that he puts stuff on Facebook, which is pretty amazing. Well, his wife does, actually, which is quite amazing. He insists he's known that he writes all his documents, his memos, with a prefix CX, the code only he can use. He's just being called chief, which is the traditional title of the head of MI6. And he's a bit of a lad, all right, you may put it like that. He's quite different from his predecessor, Sir John Scarlett, who was very secretive and